Hello, I'm Michael Serapio, and this is the Primetime Politics Podcast.
On Primetime Politics, a stain on Canada's democracy.
Foreign interference is a real occurrence and a serious threat.
The Hogue Commission tables its first report on foreign interference, concluding foreign actors tried to influence the last two elections and continue to interfere frequently. Coming up, we'll speak with Canada's Public Safety Minister to find out what the Liberal government will do to protect Canadian democracy and restore public confidence. Also, the Hogue Commission came only after the Johnston inquiry failed to satisfy opposition MPs. But how different are the two reports? Our journalist panel will tackle the issue. And
this investigation does not end here. We are aware that others may have played a role in this homicide.
The RCMP make three arrests in the murder of Canadian Sikh activist Hardeep Singh Nijjar. We'll get reaction. This is Primetime Politics. Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Serapio. Justice Marie-José Hogue says Canadians have the right to an election that is free of coercion and free of covert influence. But she says that was undermined in the election of 2019 and 2021. Now, Hogue is the woman leading Canada's public inquiry into foreign interference. She tabled her interim report this morning and then addressed members of the media.
Acts of foreign interference did occur during the last two federal general elections, but they did not undermine the integrity of our electoral system. Our system remains sound. Voters were able to cast their ballots, their votes were duly registered and counted, and there is nothing to suggest that there was any interference whatsoever in this regard. Nor did this foreign interference have any impact on which party formed the government in the two most recent elections. Nonetheless, the acts of interference that occurred, some of these acts have been established while others remain only suspected, are a stain on our electoral process and impacted the process leading up to the actual vote.
Well, with more on the Hogue Commission's interim report, we're now joined by Canada's Public Safety Minister, Dominic LeBlanc. Minister, thank you for joining us this evening.
Good evening, Michael.
Now, your report says, or rather this report says, that your government will need to do some work to reestablish public trust. In the foyer today, when you talked about it earlier, you did mention that something was going to come soon. What exactly can Canadians expect in the coming days? Will it be legislation on the creation of a foreign agents registry?
So we recognize for a long time that one of the things that malevolent foreign state and non-state actors seek to do is exactly that, diminish confidence that Canadians have in their democratic institutions. It's a challenge for other Western democracies as well. So we certainly take what the commissioner said in this regard very seriously. And as you mentioned, I referred earlier today to legislative actions that our government will be taking. I put on notice today in the House of Commons our intention to introduce legislation in the coming days to better strengthen our ability to counter foreign intelligence. But as you know, Michael, you've been around Parliament for a while. Once legislation like this is on notice, out of respect for Parliament, we're not going to discuss the contents of the bill, but it will be introduced in the coming days. And once it's introduced in Parliament, perhaps I can come on your show and discuss the details.
Well, for the record, you're always welcome on our show, so yeah. Happy to talk about that. But listen, you know,
maybe we'll do it next week.
Okay, I look forward to that. But why has it taken so long, Minister? Because, you know, when you talk about legislative changes, but on the Foreign Agents Registry alone, you know, that's something that's been talked about even before allegations of Chinese interference surfaced. My recollection of it goes back even to the days of the convoy protests. So why has it taken so long to even get that one piece up and running?
And again, this is it's not a simple undertaking. Diaspora communities have understandable concerns that legislation in this regard needs to be drafted in an appropriate way, that you deal with, for example, things like lawyer-client solicitor-client privilege. There's a whole series of complicated issues, so it's not a simple undertaking, but it's an important one and it's got to be done right. But as I said, the legislation that we hope to introduce in the House of Commons next week will really seek to strengthen our ability to detect and resist and defeat attempts at foreign interference. So I look forward to discussing those details with you when the legislation is tabled.
Okay. Listen, let's get back to the Hogue report itself, though, because, you know, this interim report, it also talks about intelligence assessments not reaching the intended recipient or being misunderstood by those who received it. And we heard that in testimony, even before today's interim report. Have there been any changes already made or coming down the pipes to ensure that that process gets better?
Yeah, of course there have been. I mean, this was a challenge, Michael, you'll remember. Last spring, last winter, it was clear that the ability of intelligence services and the RCMP in some cases to properly share information with either political responsible persons like myself in the case of these national security agencies needed to be robust and assured. I am confident the Prime Minister has made some very, very clear directions known to the national security agencies. I see it operationally in my work with CSIS and other partners. I'm confident that some of the challenges that existed previously have been corrected, and I'm confident that the director of CSIS and others that I talk to often about these issues and others are sharing with me the relevant information and more importantly, putting it in a context as well. So I've learned since I became Public Safety Minister, Michael, the difference between a piece of sort of raw intelligence that hasn't been corroborated, hasn't been tested against other intelligence products, and isn't, to your point, your question was about assessments. Those are obviously valuable products because they put the information or the intelligence in a context that people like myself that aren't security experts can understand and can work with partners to ensure that we're taking the appropriate steps. So I have every confidence that those measures are in place. But again, this was the interim report of the Hogue Commission. Madame la Juge Hogue, Justice Hogue, will be at the end of this year bringing in her final report, which will, we hope, and the terms of reference contemplate this, contain recommendations as to what the government and Parliament and others could do. So we look forward to those recommendations as well. And if we can strengthen any of these measures, of course, we'll want to do so.
Okay. You know, before we're done, interestingly enough, as this report was being tabled and Justice Hogue was speaking to members of the media, we got news that the RCMP arrested three individuals in connection to the murder of Hardeep Singh Nijjar. You know, the Prime Minister did say that there were credible allegations that Mr. Nijjar's killing was carried out with the involvement of the Indian government. As you and I are right now talking about foreign interference, what message do you hope the arrest of these three will send out to any foreign actor or entity?
So obviously I'm very happy with the work that the RCMP has done on this difficult case. The arrests today were an important part of that independent police process. I also noted that the Assistant Commissioner for Federal Policing in the Pacific region made clear in his comments that there were distinct and ongoing investigations that were underway, including the potential links to the government of India. So this is not the final efforts of the RCMP. Their work is ongoing, as they noted themselves today. So I think the message is that we take transnational repression very seriously. It's a challenge I've discussed, including as recently as today, with the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary and the British Home Secretary. This is not unique to Canada, but Canada is a rule of law country with effective police forces that will investigate and prosecutors that will prosecute those that seek to perpetrate these crimes. And we'll continue to look for ways that we can reinforce legislation or resources that police and other partners have to make sure everything possible is being done.
How important will successful prosecutions be to back up the Prime Minister's allegations about Indian government involvement?
I don't want to prejudge what a criminal trial might do or the evidence that will be introduced in a criminal trial. I think it's important to note that it's in the hands of the judicial system now, which is appropriate. But it's also important to note that the RCMP have confirmed that their work is ongoing and these separate and distinct investigations are continuing. So I think we should have every confidence that they'll do this work effectively.
Mm-hmm. Ahead of next week when you make the announcement, I do also want to squeeze in one more question here about something we heard from Mr. Chong, because in Mr. Chong's discussion, he was raising the fact that there was a private conversation between the Prime Minister and Commissioner Ogg, in which Commissioner talks about the Prime Minister making the statement that unendorsing your candidate in Toronto's Don Valley riding north would have a direct electoral consequence in a race that Liberals were expected to win. Does that reinforce what Conservatives have been saying, that the actions of your government were influenced by the seat count that you were eyeing in that campaign?
No, and coming from the Conservatives, Michael, it's not particularly credible. Mr. Poiliev, when he was minister responsible for democratic institutions, had public warnings from CSIS over a decade ago about foreign interference. The Conservative government at the time did absolutely nothing to put in place measures to counter, to detect and disrupt this. We're the first government to have done that. When I asked Mr. Poiliev a year ago if he regretted that, he said, of course they didn't do anything because it wasn't in their partisan advantage to do so. So I think that we have shown that any incident of foreign interference is something that we take seriously. And we've stood up measures that we've expanded, that we've adjusted, we've evolved. And the Hogg Commission report is a very important step along that path. The National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians has done a good work, and there are other groups that are reviewing this. So we'll continue to be guided by that advice and not the partisan comments of the Conservatives.
Minister Dominic LeBlanc, thank you for the time this evening.
Thanks very much, Michael.
The Public Safety Minister, Dominic LeBlanc. Now, we also got reaction from the opposition today. Take a listen to MP Michael Chong, the Conservative Party's Shadow Minister for Foreign Affairs, followed by the NDP House Leader, Peter Julian.
Commissioner Hogue's first report comes to conclusions and findings that are starkly different from what the Trudeau government has told us over the last 18 months, and conclusions and findings that are different from the report of Mr. Johnston of a year ago. She concluded that interference occurred in the last two general elections. And while this interference did not have an impact on which party came to power, it could have had an impact on the results at the riding level. And she concluded that it impacted the broader electoral system, that it undermined public confidence in Canadian democracy, and that it disproportionately targeted and negatively affected diaspora communities, particularly the Chinese community. And so this report is a damning set of conclusions and findings in the first phase of this inquiry about what the Trudeau government has indicated over the last 18 months and contradicts much of what the government has told us over that period of time.
First off, I think it's reassuring for Canadians to know that foreign interference did not change the results of the 2019 and 2021 elections. That being said, she is very clear in speaking to the presence of foreign interference and the potential that that could have a preponderant impact in the coming years. So we need to prepare. We need to make sure as a country that we are ready. At the very latest, elections will be held next year.
Well, with more on the Hogue Commission and the interim report, we're now joined by Robert Fife, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Globe and Mail, Stephanie Levitz, Deputy Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star, and Joël Denis Bellevance, Ottawa Bureau Chief for La Presse. Hello to the three of you.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Michael.
So here's the report, the interim report everybody's been waiting for. And when you go through it, a number of things raised by the commissioner. But I want to begin here with just how well the Liberal government responded to these allegations of foreign interference. Because, you know, we've heard Conservatives time and again argue that part of the reason why the Liberals did not act more forcefully is because it benefited the Liberal Party. But this is just one paragraph out of, you know, roughly 200 pages here, in which Hogue writes, "The evidence I have heard to date does not demonstrate bad faith on anyone's part or that information was deliberately and improperly withheld. But it does suggest that on some occasions, information related to foreign interference did not reach its intended recipient, while on others, the information was not properly understood by those who received it." So Does that point more to a flawed process rather than calculated moves, Bob?
Well, yes and no, because the testimony we've heard is that the CSIS director said he did tell the government this. The prime minister said he didn't. The CSIS director was called back to say, no, in fact, I did. And she also said, because she passed no judgment on the prime minister or his top aides in this particular case, but she did say that you may see some conclusions at the end in her final report in December, including on the riding in Handong's riding. So I'm holding judgment to see what she actually says at the end, because there's contradictory testimony, and although she does say that, I'm not sure whether she's talking about these monitoring organizations that withheld information, or that was passed properly, or she was talking about the prime minister, because that's not clear.
And that does underline the fact that this is just, again, the interim report, the final one with recommendations expected to be at the end of the year. But what do you make of it, Steph? A flawed process versus calculated moves?
I mean, it's also possible it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B there, right? Because it's also clear, you know, when she talks about, for example, the tension between what some of these oversight bodies thought they ought to be doing and what the parties themselves thought they ought to be learning. And the question is, well, why didn't we can't get at their motivations, right? She says, as Bob notes, she's not passing judgment here. She's not testing the veracity of the intelligence. She certainly didn't conduct her own sort of secret spy level investigation into all of this. She's asking us, as her predecessors have done, to just trust her, to say, listen, I've assessed all of this. There's no obvious sign of intent, of malicious intent, let's say, or partisan intent. Just like it's not always clear that it was actually a foreign state acting, you can infer certain things. She doesn't pass judgment on those actions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly, though, I think we can agree on one thing, is that there is some flawed communications between the actual agencies who collect information and how it's transmitted to legislators or people who are in government. This, I think, will be part and parcel of her next report that will be tabled at the end of this year. And we've seen evidence to that point, a testimony by David Vigneault. And I think I've said that on this show. Mr. Vigneault, I think, came back and testified a second time because he was called, but also I think he wanted to reaffirm one thing, that he felt that he was like yelling in the desert for a while, and legislators were not listening about the threat of foreign interference. But on the exercise itself, I think this will benefit Canadians, because we have somebody with legalistic lenses that look at this issue, which is a contrast to the report that was produced by David Johnson, the former Governor General, who was the special rapporteur for the government to look at this issue. I think this is great value, and I think our democracy will come up stronger after the publication of this report, in my sense.
Okay, great value. And in fact, that does raise a question I have about David Johnston, because as we know, he was essentially criticized for being too close to the Prime Minister to actually be giving an objective view. But in broad strokes, when you look at this, it seems to really point to very similar conclusions as to the one that David Johnston was reaching. So does this in some ways help restore a reputation that really got hit hard, Bob?
On contrary, I think it's the absolute opposite. He was really, I wouldn't call it a whitewash, but boy, he wasn't being very critical of the government. And as a result of this public inquiry, we've learned an awful lot. And we learned an awful lot about how the Prime Minister's office and senior ministers viewed foreign interference. They did not take it very seriously. And we've learned that the two oversight bodies for election monitoring, although informed of the extent of Chinese state interference, particularly the disinformation campaigns, they didn't take that very seriously either. And so you have people like Jenny Kwan, the New Democratic MP, who has been targeted by China, saying this is a good report, and she hopes that when she comes back with the final report, that we will have a truly independent agency overlooking the monitoring of election campaigns. Because when you have senior civil servants who depend on their jobs for the prime minister, it doesn't matter whether it's Mr. Trudeau or Conservative Pierre Poilievre or whatever, they're not truly independent. They're nonpartisan for sure, but not truly independent. Mm-hmm. And I do think that she is absolutely right on this. What we've learned now about foreign interference, and if we're going to be serious about it, to restore trust in the electoral system among Canadians, that has to be truly independent. That means they see this stuff. If they feel it's necessary to issue a public warning or to speak to a member of parliament, say, you are being targeted by disinformation, you should be taking steps to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Steph?
Yeah, I would also say, I think, you know, it was a question of tone as well. When you read the Hoag report, you could almost commend the commission for the amount of clearly sensitivities it placed on the fact that diaspora communities in this country are affected by this on a daily basis. And that it is trite and unfortunate when the prime minister or the government sort of says, nothing to see here, folks, the election was sound. And she is making the point repeatedly in that report, yes, it is true the overall outcome was not affected, but if there is a chill effect on someone who wants to cast a ballot, if politicians are censoring what they're talking about because they're worried about foreign interference, she, and in this report, takes the issue much more fundamentally seriously and in very nuanced, thoughtful through line, which stands, I think, in very stark contrast with the Liberal government, to some degree, the Johnston report, that we're always looking at it high level. The integrity of the election was sound. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it was. No one is disputing that. No one, not the losers, not anyone, but everyone. There's a lot of people saying, this is real. It affects me. It hurts my vote. Why is no one listening? And I think for the first time you have a report that says, we hear you.
Yeah, and add to that, not only affects my vote, I'm afraid, yes, which is what we
exactly
hear time and again.
Exactly. One point that I want to make, I think it is critical, is that in the report, the judge is warning the Liberal Party to do its homework for the nomination meetings that they held, because this is the first entry for a foreign stairs to try to influence the outcome of a federal election. So this is a very strong warning for the Liberal Party that I did not expect that would be in the report. And to me, this is a very, I think it shows that the Liberals, by the way they handled their nomination meetings, may have helped some states to interfere previously in our election.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was another point I wanted to raise, because that is very clearly a distinction being made by the commissioner. What does that mean? And I know her final recommendations are going to come at the end of the year, but what do you think that immediately means for the nomination process as we prepare for about a year away from another vote?
I mean, the nomination processes need to be really fixed up, because if you win in some ridings in Toronto, for example, or in if you're a Liberal, you win that nomination, you're guaranteed to win. Yep. Or in Alberta, if you win a nomination for or Saskatchewan or Alberta, you win a nomination for the Conservatives, you're in. I mean, you're going to be in for a long time. That's why these nomination processes are really important, to safeguard them from foreign interference, because that's the that's where they focus a lot of their energies, to get somebody in that they hope will be sympathetic to their interests. But just beyond the nomination, I mean, she was very clear. You've got to do something now, government. You've got to do something to detect and deter this, not just waiting for my final report, but you've got to do something. And that, to me, that has been the best thing that I think the best thing I found out of this report, is that she's telling our leaders, our political leaders, do something about this, because it not only affects electoral process, but affects so many people in the diaspora communities who are being intimidated or bullied or being affected by disinformation campaigns.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm going to move on here because we're quickly running out of time. But the last point I do want to raise is the fact that, you know, the commissioner talks about the need to restore public confidence in the whole electoral process as a result of this type of interference. And yet, here we are with the public inquiry, almost a year after the rapporteur's report. You know, does it say anything about how governments need to deal with issues and questions and immediately bring it to public inquiry and drop this whole idea of a special rapporteur for future cases?
I mean, yes, and it puts a lot of pressure, I think, on the government to try and justify in the future whenever they claim that something is secret. Because what is clear from the Hoag process is, even in her limited time, even with the few hours she had available, think about the treasure trove of intelligence materials that were able to be made public because someone in a position of authority pushed back and said, that does not exactly need to be classified. And what happened? Like, CSIS and all these guys just bent over and said, yeah, sure. So I think it raises a big question about how transparent our government systems are and how transparent Canadians ought to demand them to become, so we really know the scope of the threats that are facing our democracy.
Jean-Denis?
Yeah, and I want to come back to the point that to this commission, the role that it's playing in trying to restore our faith in democracy. I think it is playing a big role. But in the sense, we still wasted 1 year. This should have been set up right from the upstart, as Stephanie alluded to, and we would be far more ahead now as we are approaching elections in terms of measures to protect our democracy from foreign interference. One more point I want to make, and I want to salute the work of the media in this file, especially the Globe and Mail and Robert and Stephen Chase. They did a great job, and it forced the government to react to a very profound issue that is important to our democracy, you know, in foreign interference. If the media had not been persistent in reporting on those issues, I don't think we'd be there talking about this today.
Mm-hmm. Bob, on the idea that of a public inquiry, because again, how does it not add to the stain that the commissioner is talking about?
Look,
or delaying to it, rather.
I'm sorry?
Or delaying to get to it, rather.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they didn't want to have this public inquiry because they know that they didn't do a proper job in protecting the electorate. And it's clear that's what she's saying. We need something to fix this. Now, they're going to. They have a package of legislative measures, which we may see next week or the week after, that will make create a foreign agent registry, that will make changes of the CSIS Act and the Security of Information Act, so much more of this information, CSIS will be able to tell the public about it. And I hope that there is changes to the criminal code to make foreign interference a criminal code amendment, because the police, we've learned from seeing how the FBI operate in the United States, they can quickly go after people for foreign interference, but it's very, very difficult here because we don't really have the laws to do so. And both the registry and making foreign interference, putting in a criminal code, I think will give the police a lot more leeway to be able to prosecute people who are involved in trying to interfere in Canadian politics and our democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we say, the final report out at the end of the year, and we'll see what the government does between now and then. Bob, Stephanie, Joadeni, thank you for the time.
Thank you,
Michael.
And that is our program for this evening. I'm Michael Serapio. For everyone here at CPAC, thank you for watching. Primetime Politics will be back next week. Until then, take care.